Loko vikarma nidata kushale pramatta. Karman yayam tvadudite bhavadarshane sve. Yastha vadasya balavani hajivitasham. Sadyaschinatyanyani mishaya namostu tasmai.
People in general all engage in foolish acts, not in the really beneficial activities enunciated directly by you for their guidance. As long as their tendency for foolish work remains powerful, all their plans in the struggle for existence will be cut to pieces. I therefore offer my obeisances unto him who acts as eternal time. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. People in general are all engaged in senseless work. They are systematically unmindful of the real beneficial work, which is the devotional service of the Lord, technically called the archana regulations. The pancharatra, the archana regulations are directly instructed by the Lord in the Narada pancharatra and are strictly followed by the intelligent man. Well, that the highest perfectional goal of life is to reach Lord Vishnu, who is the root of the tree called the cosmic manifestation. Also in the Bhagavatam and in the Bhagavad Gita, such regulative activities are clearly mentioned. Foolish people do not know that their self-interest is in realization of Vishnu. The Bhagavatam says, Matirna Krishne Parathashvatova Mito Pipadyeti Kriha Brathanam Adanta Gobhira Vishatam Tamishram Puna Punas Charvata Charvananam Nate Vidu Swarata Katim Hivishnum Durashaya Ye Bahir Artamanina Andhaya Tandhar Upaniya Manash Te Pishatantriam Urudham Nibadaha Naisham Matishtavaru Kramangrim Sprishatyanartha Pagamo Yadartha Mahiyasham Padu Rajobishekam Niskinjananam Navrinita Yavat. Persons are determined to totally rot in false material happiness, cannot become Krishna-minded either by instructions from teachers, by self-realization, or by parliamentary discussions. They are dragged by the unbridled censors into the darkest region of ignorance, and thus they are madly engaging in what is called chewing the chewed. Because of their foolish activities, they are unaware that the ultimate goal of human life is to achieve Vishnu, the Lord of the cosmic manifestation. And so their struggle for existence is in the wrong direction of material civilization, which is under the external energy. They are led by similar foolish persons, just as one blind man is led by another blind man, and both fall in the ditch. Such foolish men cannot be attracted toward the activities of the Supreme Powerful, who is actually the neutralizing measure for their foolish activities, unless and until they have the good sense to be guided by the great souls who are completely freed from material attachment. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord asks everyone to give up all other occupational duties and absolutely engage in archana activities or in pleasing the Lord. But almost no one is attracted to such archana activities. Everyone is more or less attracted by activities which are conditions of rebellion against the Lord. The systems of jnana and yoga are also indirectly rebellious acts against the Lord. There is no auspicious activity except archana of the Lord. Jnana and yoga are sometimes accepted within the purview of archana when the ultimate aim is Vishnu and not otherwise. The conclusion is that only the devotees of the Lord are bona fide human beings eligible for salvation. Others are vainly struggling for existence without any actual benefit. We are continuing our reading from third canto, chapter 9 of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Lord Brahma is offering his prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead at the dawn of creation. Lord Brahma, aware of the nature of conditioned souls within this material existence, is revealing the futility of their lives and all of their efforts. People under the illusion of Maya's potencies are trying to find happiness in a world of death. Unfortunate souls are struggling so hard with the idea that just by creating, maintaining, and enjoying the temporary objects of this world, my life will be successful. Human life is meant for tapasya. This has been established by the Supreme Lord before anything took place within the universe. When Brahma was sitting on lotus flower, no understanding was within his heart. The first thing Krishna wanted to reveal to the world was the two syllables tapa. Life is meant for tapasya. It is not meant for sense gratification. It is not meant for trying to create a permanent situation of happiness in a place where we will all be cut to pieces by the Lord in the form of eternal time. Brahmaji is here offering his obeisances to Krishna, who acts as eternal time. He cuts all of our illusions into pieces in this form of time. And we see that it is happening to everyone. We hear it in the scriptures, but still, we do not really believe it. Maharaj Yudhisthira, when he was asked by Yamaraj in the form of Yaksha, what is the most wonderful, the most astonishing thing within all of the world? Yudhisthira Maharaj explained how everyone sees death all around them, inevitably. Yet everyone is thinking, let me enjoy. It will not happen to me. Srila Prabhupada compares this mentality to a foolish goat. Even big scholars, industrialists, politicians, scientists, as far as Srila Prabhupada and the holy scriptures and all the great sadhus from all time, they see these endeavors of these people to be like foolish goats. I'm sorry to say, but we must repeat what the scriptures, what God, and what the acharyas have said. What is a foolish goat's business? He's brought to the slaughterhouse. In the slaughterhouse, just to keep all the goats pacified until they get their heads and all their limbs severed from their bodies, until all their blood is shed, they are given nice, green, delicious grasses. And they're in a line, just taking their grasses, one after another, after another. They're coming forward, eating their grass. They probably give very good quality grass at that time. And one by one, they're approaching the place where their heads are severed. And all the goats are getting their heads severed. But each goat is thinking, I am enjoying. What a nice arrangement this is that I have to eat grass. But every step, with every bite, he's becoming one step closer to death. Now you may think, why doesn't the goat just leave the line and go somewhere else? Because he's so attached to eating that grass that he doesn't want to leave the line. He wants to keep progressing forward toward death. Now, we may think this is the foolishness of a goat, but it is the foolishness of our entire civilization today. We know death is coming. We see how death has come to so many others. We see how it's all around us today. And Krishna descends into this world again and again. He speaks the holy scriptures. He reveals his representatives. And they are all telling us, get out of this line in the slaughterhouse of material existence. Eternal time is going to cut you to pieces. It's already in the process of cutting you to pieces. And here's how to get out. Tapasya. Chaturvarnamayastristam guna kama vibhagashaha. According to your particular nature, as a select a varna or ashram, and live by it for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. Samsadir haritoshanam. By pleasing Krishna, by purifying our hearts and becoming devotional in our consciousness, we can be removed from this line of death. But we don't want to do that. We want to continue enjoying the fresh green grasses, which taste so good to our fastidious tongue. Our senses get a little bit of enjoyment, and within a moment, the enjoyment is gone, and you have to have more, more, and more. That is the way sense gratification is. Krishna explains in Gita, it's like fire. The more a fire consumes, the more it needs to consume. Examine, what is sense gratification? You see something beautiful, but then it goes away, and then you're simply longing to have it again or something else. You taste something nice, but how long does that pleasure remain within your tongue? It's a matter of seconds. Then you have to have more. And the more you experience something nice, the more you become addicted to that pleasure, and you're just totally in anxiety and frustration, in fear that you will lose what you have, and always aspiring to try to get what you do not have. And that pleasure cannot remain. And the nature of the mind is it's never satisfied for long, chanchalam. Whatever you get for your sense gratification, you become tired of it. You need a change, something else. And Maya keeps bringing more grass for us to eat. She just keeps throwing some more grass in front of us just to keep our minds so preoccupied with this tendency to enjoy material sense enjoyment that we forget the real goal of life, the purpose of life, and how to achieve it. We should see like that. Every time sense enjoyment comes that diverts our attention away from Krishna consciousness, It is simply Maya throwing some cheap grass in front of us. We're giving up all the treasures of the spiritual world just to get some temporary satisfaction by chewing that grass. We are all goats in consciousness. This is the unfortunate situation that Lord Brahma sees within this universe. Human life is meant for tapasya. It is through tapasya that we can achieve real happiness and eternal existence in relationship with God, our all-loving master and the supreme object of our real love. Tapasya is by performing our prescribed duties with Krishna in the center. Today in India, even so-called religious people, they may be a little pious and a little moral, and they may have some rituals, but they do not want to keep Krishna in the center of their lives. They want to keep Krishna in a far distant corner of their lives, where every now and then, at their convenience, when it suits their sense gratification, they will take him off the shelf, and they'll do a little puja, and they'll make a little sacrifice, and then put him away and close the door and say, "Stay out of my life until I come for you next." I'm speaking bluntly, but it is reality. Not only in India, but all over the world. But it's most shameful in India. Because India is the land of the Vedas, the Shastras, the Rishis. It is the land, the heart of the entire universe for Dharma. When people of India live in this way, they are cheating the whole world and cheating themselves. When a person who has PhD acts foolishly, grown man, we say that person is very much shameful. When a little child misbehaves, little shameful. To be born in India is a PhD birth. It is the land of Dharma, whether you're rich or poor. From the spiritual point of view, because the heritage is here, the culture is here. To keep Krishna in the center. Devotional service in the center of our lives. Simple living, high thinking. But unfortunately, people consider it fanaticism. They consider it irrational and impractical to keep Krishna in the center of every aspect of our life. Our sense gratification, our family attachment, our false ego, our nationalistic conceptions of concerns in this world, they should be the center of our life. And however much our devotion to God helps us to better pursue these purposes, to that degree, religion has some value. Everything is backwards. God is our order supplier, and we will accept him as long as he's supplying. But if he's not supplying for our personal, selfish, egoistic influence and helping to maintain and expand our material wealth and prestige, then what is the use of God? That's what he's here for. He's here to serve us. Why should we serve him? We should only serve him if he makes our material life better. And if you do too much service, then your material life will be spoiled because you won't have time for reality, which is eating grass like a foolish goat. That's reality. Hare Krishna. Krishna descends, the scriptures speak. Why can't people hear? They do not want to hear. So much conditioned. even in the name of religion. And today, religious leaders are coming forward and teaching the same principles, that you worship me or you worship God, and we will give you an improved material life. We will give you the best grasses, and you'll be able to keep it in your mouth as long as possible and taste the flavors. I will give you gold. I will give you blessings that you will have so much egoistic success in your life, for you, for your family, for your society. But actually, a real spiritual leader teaches renunciation and nothing else, because renunciation is the only purpose of human existence. According to the particular ashram and varna we may be in, there are different ways of approaching renunciation. There are different duties. But renunciation is the basis of life. Renunciation of egoistic pursuits for worldly pleasures, for the purpose of utilizing our time and energy in our eternal occupation, Sanatan Dharma, which is service to God. That is our purpose. For the purpose of utilizing our time and energy in our eternal occupation, Sanatan Dharma, which is service to God. That is our purpose. And when a spiritual person speaks this, even so-called religious people consider it a great threat, because they don't want what Krishna is giving. They don't want the words of the scriptures. They want to interpret everything in such a way that I am God. I am the enjoyer. And while they're in their great fantasy, they're coming closer to the inevitable form of God as eternal time, who will not only cut them into pieces, but cut everything you've done into pieces. And what will be left? Nothing. Except the karma that we endured, the karma that we have created during that life. Intelligence, according to Gita, is to discriminate between matter and spirit, to understand that life is eternal and we should pursue that life. It certainly does not mean we should all become brahmacharis and sannyasis necessarily. After all, Bhagavad Gita teaches the highest principles of renunciation and devotion to Arjuna. Arjuna wanted to renounce his family, renounce his duty as a military agent. Krishna said, this is not renunciation. Renunciation means to do it in the service of God with Krishna in the center. That is renunciation. You keep your family, you keep your home, you keep your work, but don't ever let Krishna come out of the focus of your life. Always remember Krishna. Become his devotee. Worship him. Serve him. In this way, Krishna will be always there to protect you, to guide you, to deliver you from the ocean of birth and death. Perform your duty as a service to God. Association of saintly persons is essential. The chanting of God's name regularly is essential. The reading of the scriptures and hearing the narrations of these wonderful stories and teachings from advanced souls is essential. It is the culture of India. It is the culture of Vedic civilization. But we are chasing after it, the cheap goat civilization of the West. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the great story of King Prachini Barhishat. He was actually in the dynasty of great devotees, descendant of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest and prepared himself. And because his mother was actually a real loving mother, she said, "You go, go to the forest, realize God. That is the real purpose of life." How many mothers are like that today? There are some. But then he came back, and he became the king of the entire world, and ruled the world for many long years in perfect discipline and regulation. He got married, he had children. They were more responsible than anybody can be responsible. And people have the ridiculous, foolish mentality that if you become too surrendered to God, you will become irresponsible. You become like Dhruva Maharaj and then speak these nonsense words. No doubt, people can be irresponsible whether they're devotees or not devotees, but if you are following the teachings, you cannot be irresponsible. But you will be responsible to do it as Krishna wants you to do it, not to do it as your fastidious, egoistic mental condition prefers. Dhruva Maharaj was such a king. All the citizens loved him. All the citizens were willing to do anything for him because he was so caring. He was so pure. He was such a merciful, compassionate representative of God. That's the way a father and mother should be. That's the way a teacher should be. That's the way a leader should be on every level. Giving the real substance of truth to our dependents and teaching them how to live by that truth. Not only was Dhruva Maharaj such a great king, but he trained all his children to be the same. His descendants were Rajarishis. They were not only kings, but they were rishis. Whether we are businessmen, whether we are housewives, whether we are school teachers, whether we are politicians, whether we are architects or doctors, we should be rishis. We should perform our duty with knowledge of what is the purpose of life. Samsadir Haritoshanam, to please Krishna. That is the goal of life. There's no other goal of life that has truth. But somehow, as the generations went by, there was a king named Prachini Barhishat. He had such a good heritage behind him. However, the opulences, the power, the great learning, it caused him to forget what is actually the purpose. He was performing religious principles, but his performance of religious principles was to sustain his material acquisitions. It was not to realize the truth. It was not to detach himself from illusion and attach himself to reality, devotional service to the Lord. So he became very, very much caught up with so many material entanglements in his life. And he was performing so many religious rituals for material benefits. And even his own studying of the scriptures could not reveal the truth to him. Even his good heritage of birth
the descendant of Dhruva, who is the son of Uttanapada, who is the son of Svayambhuva Manu, who is the son of Brahma, who is the son of Krishna. This is a very high gotra or caste that he was living in. But all of that background of his high caste and his very great ability to comprehend and to learn, he could not fathom what is the purpose of life. Why? Prahlad Maharaj explains, Naishamatisthavarurukramangrim Sprishatyanatapagamo yadarata Mahiya sampadrajo bishekam niskinshadanam nabriniti yavat. Unless one performs abhishek of his own body with the dust from the lotus feet of those great devotees who have no interest in material egoistic affairs. Taking the dust from the lotus feet means to hear from them and to serve them. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. Then whatever endeavors you make, you cannot understand the truth. Matirna krishne paratashvatova. Mithobi vidyeta grihavratanam adanta gobir vishatam tamisham punapunascharvatacharvananam. By any efforts, either individually or jointly, as long as we remain attached to trying to enjoy this material world, we will continue this cycle of birth and death, chewing the chewed. We cannot understand the real goal of life. Therefore, it is so important that whoever we are, however learned, however wealthy, however good our background is of our family, unless we humble ourselves to hear from those who are detached and devoted to Krishna and learn the art of detachment, vairagya vidya nija bhakti yogam. There are three principles: knowledge of what is truth, detachment from what is contrary to achieving that truth, and devotion, bhakti. The positive engagement of our mind, our senses, our occupational tendencies, and everything, our family attachments, they should all be directed to the service of the Lord. That is reality. That is truth. When Srila Prabhupada first went to the Western world, he was telling people no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. What he was saying is tear down your entire civilization, because the whole civilization is based on those four pillars. If you take away illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating, Western civilization is finished. It's obliterated. Because it is the basic foundation by which the entire economy and everything is built upon. When Lord Jetland was told, you follow these principles, he said, impossible. And he was one of the most pious, religious, and open-minded. He was born in the family of great nobility. He said, it is impossible, Swamiji. And people, even some of Srila Prabhupada's best well-wishers, his godbrother said, forget it, come home. How will you convince these malechas and yavanas to give up the four pillars of sinful activity? Impossible. You cannot do it. Even the best of them, it's just come back home to India. Even the people of India can't do it. What to speak of there? And others were telling him, compromise. Just get them to chant and eat prasad, but don't say these principles. It will ruin everything.
Even some of his own initial followers were thinking like that. One time, quite a famous group of musicians came to visit Prabhupada, 22nd Avenue. Now, in the West, in India, we have our rishis and sages who give direction to the whole society. In the West, you have rock and roll singers, popular singers, who sing about drugs and sex, primarily. And they give direction to the whole society. Actually, no exaggeration. The whole society is based around the message coming from their songs. The popular musicians singing about romance and intoxication, they are the Vedic hymns of the West. Not very Vedic, Avedic, but they are standard. Nartaki Mataji, would you agree with this? Entire generations just run toward their message. So these very, very influential people came to Srila Prabhupada. And they were listening very carefully. They liked the idea of chanting Hare Krishna because they can play it on their guitars and everything like that. And they liked the idea of eating prasad. But the devotees were praying to Krishna, please don't let Prabhupada tell them what is the four regulative principles. Because they'll never accept it. And Prabhupada just went on charming their hearts with so much nice philosophy. They were listening carefully. The devotees were thinking, please, please, Prabhupada, don't spoil it. Don't tell them about this. But sure enough, Srila Prabhupada, knowing exactly what everyone needs to hear, he said, but in order to make any spiritual progress, you must give up illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Hare Krishna. Some of the devotees in the room started holding their heads, thinking Prabhupada has spoiled everything. It took us so much to get these people to come here. And the musicians, they heard that. It was like thunderbolt upon their whole conception of what is the purpose of life. Dismantling the entire foundation of their existence in material illusion. And afterwards, Srila Prabhupada said, I must teach the truth. Whether people are willing to accept it or not, whether I am popular or not, I must speak the truth. And what is the truth? It is what Krishna speaks. We are not egoistic. What Krishna speaks, it can be presented in a very broad-minded, universal way, but it must be presented as it is. Sinful activities are contrary to spiritual development. Sense gratification is contrary to material development. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating isn't such a difficult thing for people in India. Because basically there's the connection to a culture of detachment and devotion. But in the West, you cannot imagine what this means. In India, to speak, keep Krishna in the center of your life. Chant this Maha Mantra every day. Associate with devotees. Turn off your television. Ah, what is this fanaticism? This is very dangerous. This is a suicidal conception. Turn off your television. How will we live? How will we survive? Everyone's doing it. It's the progressive, modern way of life. But what enjoyment is there? I remember when I was young, I couldn't believe it. I hitchhiked to New York City. And I found, this was in the 1960s, I couldn't believe it. The average person was watching television 9 hours a day, all night long. I was from a small town. There was maybe 2 stations, and by 11 o'clock at night, the station shut down. And just this, if you turned on the station, it just went zzzz. That's all. But in New York City, there were so many stations all night long, and people would just sit like this, watching people killing each other with guns and swords, and watching people having sex with each other, and watching all sorts of, that's basically all there is. Sometimes some, what to call it, some decorations on those principles. What is this? I never saw more miserable people in my life. They were morose, they were... So I was thinking, if this television watching is the source of happiness, why the people who do it the most are the most miserable? If sex life is so nice, then why the prostitutes aren't dancing in ecstasy? But yet, when we say, take that time, read the Gita, come to kirtan, chant with devotees, what is this? We should be normal. We should watch television. Or we should work overtime. But this going to temple and hearing about Krishna, associating with sadhus, chanting, dancing, having aarti with your family when it's not even Sunday? What is this? This is the downfall of all of our conceptions of reality. But Krishna consciousness is the presentation of truth, real tradition. Maharaj Prachini Barhishak was in this condition of life. He was wasting so much of his time, and with all of his efforts, with all of his intelligence, he could not see reality behind the cloud of illusion until Narada Muni, that great devotee of Guru Parampara, came to his palace. And Narada Muni, he understood that Maharaj Prachini Barhishat, because of his very high position as a king of the whole world, not just the little kingdom, he had too much taken seriously his own conceptions of truth. So if I tell him what is reality, what is devotional service, what is renunciation, even as a king, he will certainly reject what I say. It will be too much of a shock. His ego will not be able to accommodate that I'm telling him that he's wrong. The false ego doesn't like to be told that it's wrong. This is the problem. And the more we are recognized within society as being right, the more painful it is for the ego to hear that we are wrong. So painful that sometimes we're willing to fight an entire war just to prove that we're right, even if we know we're wrong. Hare Krishna. So the nature of the ego, Janmaishwarya Shruti Shubir Edamana Madhapuman, that material opulences, high parentage, much wealth, very good education, physical beauty and strength, these things make us so proud. People recognize us and adore us, and we take such pleasure in being recognized and adored that we cannot tolerate the idea of being seen as having a defect or being wrong. This is completely the opposite of what pleases Krishna. What pleases Krishna? Trinarapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishna, amanina manadena kirtaniyasadar. To be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree. Sundays, but constantly chant the holy names of Krishna. That is real religion. So Narada Muni was an expert preacher. Narada Muniji was not preaching just to prove to someone that he knows the truth. He was preaching to change the person's heart. Therefore, he wanted Prachini Bharishat to hear his message without being frightened or offended. So he began to tell a story about a king from another kingdom at another time. His name was Puranjan. And first he told about the power and the grandeur of this king, and Prachini Bharishat was thinking, oh, this is a very good story. Go on, go on. Narada Muni caught him in the web of his expertise as a preacher. Continued to explain the nature of this king's life. He explained the beauty of his kingdom, the beauty of his queen, the wonderful nature of his children, how he was so powerful. And Prachini Bharishat was very much listening. And gradually he began to explain how this king was in complete illusion. He was engaging in so many so-called religious activities which were actually harmful to himself and others. And he was so much attached to his wealth and his surroundings that ultimately he suffered. He was miserable. He was conquering great lands, but he was just a slave of his senses and the objects of his senses. And then how he died, and he had to take another birth in a miserable condition of life. And as Narada Muni was speaking this story, just toward the end, King Prachini Bharishat realized, he's talking about me. This whole story is about me. But he has done it in an allegorical way to appear that it's someone else, but it's me. He's changed some of the names. But by the time he came to that realization, he was convinced that what Narada Muni was saying was true. So whoever we are, however great, without the mercy of the Lord's representatives, the Vaishnavas, we cannot understand the truth. And what do the Vaishnavas teach us? If they are bogus Vaishnavas, if they are bogus gurus, they will tell us, go on enjoying in any way you want and take this mantra. Just give me some money.
Hare Krishna.
One meditator came to America like this. Do anything you want. It doesn't matter. Just take this mantra and you will become God. But give me $35. Later it became several hundred dollars due to inflation. Prabhupada did not like this idea. We should preach the way Krishna preaches. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukha shunaya vitte. Krishna says that sense gratification is the source of misery. You must give it up. But how to give it up? We can't just give up our search for enjoyment because the soul needs enjoyment. We learn how to find satisfaction in watering the root of the tree, in service to God. We direct our life around service to God. You can have a wonderful family and beautiful children and all facilities at home, but put Krishna in the center, not your ego in the center.
don't work out of greed, work out of devotion. For that we must have the association of saintly people to guide us, to inspire us. And then we can actually find real happiness, and we can give that happiness to others. Lord Brahma is very strongly warning us that people in general all engage in foolish acts, not in the really beneficial activities enunciated directly by you, Krishna, for their guidance. As long as their tendency for foolish work remains powerful, all their plans in the struggle for existence will be cut to pieces. I therefore offer my obeisances unto him who acts as eternal time. Is there any questions? Yes. We should understand the standard. We should not justify sense gratification and change the standard. That is the tendency. It's actually very good because it is natural. Whether we are able to follow completely strictly or not, at least we should know what it is, the standard that we should gradually be trying to purify ourselves to achieve. If we do not set our goals, we will never progress in the proper direction. We should not see each other as simply instruments for our enjoyment. We should see each other as the sacred property of God. We should see each other's our union for the service of God. That should be the basic premise of our relationship. And if, due to previous conditionings, we are simply not able to live by the highest standards immediately, we should do the best we can, and we should always keep that standard as something very sacred to approach. The danger is when we justify and think that it's impossible, it's not reasonable, and it's not important. Then you cannot make progress. So certainly, Krishna is watching over us, whatever ashram we're in, whether we're sannyasis, or whether we're brahmacharis, or grihastas, or vanaprastas, whether we're brahmins, kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, whether we're atheists, malechas, or yavanas. In every situation, Krishna is watching over us. And we have the instructions of Krishna, which are coming through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And that is our guidance. And in the Grihastha Ashram, there is, by Krishna's divine grace, there is freedom and independence. However, we should learn to utilize that freedom and independence in a way that's to our best welfare. And we should be sincere. We should strive for perfection, even if we may be far away. And if Krishna sees that sincerity, then he will give us strength and help us. Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupashate. Just try your best. Krishna will give you the power to fulfill your ideal in life.
Does that answer your question? Any other question? Yes.
So I think the question, last question is, we strive, we lost the life to see that it is to the standard. Sometimes we feel it that, okay, something is going very nicely, we are able to reach to the standard slowly, slowly. And we maintain our standard nicely, we try to see that everything goes very nicely. We try to see our start life, okay, everything goes nicely. But then, at a sudden stroke of time, something goes wrong.
You should not hate each other for making a mistake. You should not turn against each other. You should not lose respect so much for each other. You should just understand that we made a mistake. So let us try to purify ourselves and move forward. But it is not that because we make mistakes that we begin to fight and argue and not like that. Mistakes sometimes happen. In grihastha option, they happen. So we should just try to purify ourselves and pick ourselves up and help each other with great love and affection to raise the standards of our relationship.
Maharaj, during that passage, the spiritual life is very much disturbed at that time.
So you have to become more enthusiastic to revive your spiritual life. Hare Krishna. When a child's walking, it's not so difficult to continue walking. But when a child falls, it's more difficult to get up than to continue walking for a little child. Is it not? You have seen Raghunath, your little baby. When he first learned to walk, when he's just walking, it's not difficult for him. He's just like this. But then he falls. Now to get up is very difficult. To keep walking is not difficult. So we are like children learning to walk. When we're doing well, it's not that difficult. But when we do have a mistake, it's very difficult to get up again. We must get up and start walking again. We should not just lay there for the rest of our life thinking, oh, I am fallen. Hare Krishna. And gradually through walking properly you become more strong. And there is no need to fall. Huh? How can you not envy? By chanting the glorification of Krishna's holy name. By following the process of devotional service, learning how to serve, hearing the glories of the Lord, chanting the glories of the Lord, that will purify envy from the core of our hearts. Yes.
Maharaj, to whatever stage we want to reach or we aspire, we feel these are the highest stages, but every time, I mean, in any pursuit, we have to go step by step. Mm-hmm. So, how do we feel, I mean, how should we think that, okay, like, I'll have this as a short way. This is my immediate goal. And gradually, by doing these things, I will maybe in future reach the highest stage. So, what should be our short-term goal as far as spiritual life is concerned?
The long-term goal should be sarva dharman prajyasya mam ekam sharanam prajya aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami mas. To abandon all varieties of occupational and religious ideas and surrender to the Supreme Lord. That is the ultimate goal according to the Supreme Lord. Vai pungshang paro dharmo yato bhaktirad hokshache ahoite ki apratihata yajatma suprasidati. This is our long-term goal. The supreme occupation is to serve Krishna with unmotivated, uninterrupted devotion. that is our ultimate aspiration in life. We will not be content with any situation in the world until by the grace of God we achieve that. If you're content with any other situation, you'll never reach that goal. If you're driving to Radha Gopinath Temple and you become satisfied looking at some restaurant in Bandra, then you'll never make it to Radha Gopinath Temple. You have to always keep that as your goal and keep striving for it. Now, as far as your immediate goals, your short-term goals is minute to minute, day to day, to try to perform your service in the best possible quality way. When you're chanting your japa, ultimate goal is pure unmotivated love to Krishna. Your short-term goal is this particular name of this particular mantra I have to listen to and concentrate on. That's your short-term goal. A little longer goal is to do that and complete 16 rounds with attention. Then the goal beyond that is, after that I will attend Srimad Bhagavatam class and I will hear what is the reality of the purpose of life. What does Krishna want to tell me today? When we come to Bhagavatam class, we should think like this. What does Krishna want to tell me today? What message does Krishna have for me today? It's not just an ordinary class like in the colleges. Krishna, time, place, and circumstances speaking to you through his devotees and through his literature, his scripture. And a little longer goal could be that now let me become, help with this project. You are a dentist? Hare Krishna. Jitesh the dentist. You should be thinking, how can I organize my profession to be most responsible, to be most efficient, so I can utilize this to influence others to be God conscious? How I can best utilize every aspect of my life for service. In this way, our short-term goals, we should have moment-to-moment goals to be attentive in doing things in proper consciousness. We should have hour-to-hour goals, day-to-day goals, week-to-week, month-to-month, year-to-year, decade-to-decade, but they should all be in pursuance of the goal of life. And for that we need the guidance of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Devamrit Prabhu, would you like to speak something? You have been tolerating me like a tree for so long. Madhav Prabhu, some nectarine sandesh? Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Radha Giridhari ki, Shri Baladev Subhadra Jagannath ki, Gopinanam Yuri.